Game one of the 2023 NBA Finals is tonight. It's the Denver Nuggets. It's the Miami Heat, just as everybody predicted when the playoffs started, right? The eighth seed in the Eastern Conference taking on the number one seed in the West. It's going to be a heck of a show. We're going to talk about it all from a Memphis Grizzlies perspective. You might be thinking, how in the world are they going to get 30 minutes out of this? Just watch us work here on Locked On Grizzlies. Let's lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a beautiful day it is to be here on Locked On Grizzlies, proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team each and every day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check us out over on YouTube. Like, comment, rate, review, subscribe, all those fun things. We're so happy to have you with us wherever you are joining us from. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. DeMichael, my wonderful co-host, DeMichael Cole, I am fired up, even more so than usual today, because it is one of the best times of the year. We're not an NHL podcast, but I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. I think playoff hockey is super fun. The Stanley Cup's getting ready to start, plus the NBA Finals getting underway. This is a very underrated month here, the month of June, because of two very good games, you know, seven-game series, championships going on at the same time. You don't have that with baseball, right? Baseball is, you know, they kind of own October, early November when it comes to postseason stuff. Football obviously doesn't have any competition because everybody's terrified of the NFL. But DeMichael Cole, the commercial appeal in Memphis, Tennessee, this is a twofer. The month of June, we're getting championship hockey. And, of course, the reason folks are on this podcast, championship basketball. The Memphis Grizzlies aren't involved, but there are some Grizzlies connections we're going to talk about throughout the episode.
And if you've ever noticed this, even before this finals, if you look at the history, I think it's like in the last 10 years, Joe, Memphis is during those Golden State Cleveland series for the most part. But Memphis was in the top five in market ratings in a lot of those series. We would always see that top 10. Like Memphis, everyone knows Memphis is a basketball city. Like that's no secret. So I'm looking forward to that. You have fun with your hockey. I'll keep watching. I'll keep watching my regular season baseball unless, you know, I enjoyed your guy over there. I don't know if you're a Capitals fan, but it would make sense. Yeah, I loved watching, you know, Alex Ovechkin and, you know, Sidney Crosby and those guys. But they're old now, right? Like, So, I'm past that point of kind of hockey. I was a Red Wings fan, so, and they haven't been.
They had a good run in the 90s,
And early 2000s, too.
You have to understand, from a Washington sports fan perspective, the only thing that's been good, the Nationals obviously won in 2019.
Right.
But other than the Nationals, the only sport that's been good consistently is the Washington Capitals.
The Capitals.
I think they missed the playoffs this past year for the first time in like a decade. So that was a big deal in D.C. But anyway, you guys are here for Locked On Grizzlies. You're not
What color is your shirt?
It's black. I got a black shirt today.
I wear black yesterday, and you wear blue. So I think, okay, I'm going to wear blue today. Yeah. My partner's going to wear blue again. Yeah. And then you switch to black. So
it's because we were away from each other for 5 days over the holiday. That's why. We'll get back in sync next week, I'm sure, with our wardrobe choices. DeMichael, it is the NBA Finals, as we've been talking about, and there are some Memphis Grizzlies connections, things to watch the series through, starting with game one tonight, through a Grizzlies lens. And, you know, kind of the silly one is there's a couple of former Grizzlies that serve pretty prominent roles on both teams. Let's start with the Denver Nuggets, my personal favorite, somebody that I fell hard for about 8 or 9 years ago when I thought he was going to be the answer to the grit and grind Grizzlies problems on the wing. Jeff Green. I literally wrote an article called "The Answer is Jeff Green." And he was not the answer. Or if he was the answer, it was the answer to the question of who did the Grizzlies give up an unprotected first-round pick for and they shouldn't have, right? So Yeah, that didn't go the way that I hoped, but it's cool to see Jeff Green, knowing his story, the heart issues that he had early in his career, the yeah. fact that he's been able to have this long of a career, and now he has a chance to compete for a championship. I want to say again, wasn't he in the mix on the, one of those Cleveland LeBron teams? Maybe I'm making that up.
No. He played on, I believe it was that 2018 team, but I'm not sure if he was one of the guys that was, you remember they started that season. I think they had like Dwayne Wade, Isaiah mm-hmm. Thomas, Jose
right,
Calderon,
right.
And they shipped all those guys out. I'm not sure if he was a part of that, the crew that got shipped out, but he was on one of those teams.
Yes, for sure. He was in that mix. So anyway, he's a role player, right? He's certainly not a star for the Nuggets, but he's played some meaningful minutes in these playoffs, and Jeff Green will probably have a large role to play in Denver trying to win a championship. And then, of course, on the other side, DeMichael, you have the Miami Heat with old friend Kyle Lowry, also known as the other man in the Mike Conley-Kyle Lowry dilemma. It's probably safe to say that it worked out for both sides. Kyle's had a pretty wonderful NBA career, obviously, with the Toronto Raptors, and he did win a championship with the Toronto Raptors, if I'm not mistaken. So it has worked out for him. Mike obviously got paid a lot of money, so he's not complaining too much. And I think that it's really cool to, as a Grizzlies fan, sit back. It kind of works that way every year, but it's always fun to look at the finals and say, oh, I remember when he was on Memphis, or I remember when he was with the Grizzlies. Nostalgia, right? Not just in terms of your childhood and watching, you know, for me, it was the Chicago Bulls in the 90s, the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe. You know, the nostalgia aspect of the finals, which ABC, ESPN, they nail every year. They do a great job with their video packages. It's great. And it's, you know, quick tangent. It's weird to be in the age bracket now where they're trying to sell stuff to me, right?
Oh, boy.
As a person in their mid-30s that actually buys things.
You are the targeted consumer.
I'm the target consumer, which is strange. You'll get there in terms of age eventually, DeMichael. They'll be waxing nostalgic with you in about a decade. But anyway, I digress. My point is, it's fun both in the grand scheme of things and from a specific player role, despite the fact, or regardless of the fact, if Memphis is in the finals or not, it's still a great time to watch NBA basketball.
Yeah, and again, this is one of the hoops capitals. Like, and it's always going to be connections, you know, to a city like Memphis and players. And you mentioned Kyle Lowry. You know what I think Memphis fans should convince themselves? The reason Kyle Lowry has had this type of career is because of his grittiness, you know, that grind mentality. You know, he takes a lot of charges, you know, for a point guard. He's not the most high-flying guy. He's not nailing, you know, a bunch of step-back three-pointers and things like that. He just gets it done. Look, I was at the Philadelphia Inquirer a couple years, so I met a lot of people out there in North Philly. They say that's that Philly toughness that he has. But you know what? If you're from Memphis and you're watching Kyle Lowry, you know what you should say? You should say, yeah, we made him into that guy. We turned Kyle Lowry into that guy. He left here, and he carried it on with him throughout his career. That's what I would say if it's me, Joe. I'd take all the credit.
I understand that completely, just like I took all the blame for Jeff Green failing in the Memphis Grizzlies' Beale Street Blue a moment ago. You know, I do recall living in Memphis, and it was a decade ago now that I lived in Memphis, and my time that I was there, I really enjoyed, like I said, this time of year, not necessarily for hockey, like we talked about earlier, but because people are so smart about basketball, right? And it's not universal, right? There's people that argue that trading three role players and three first round picks for Jalen Brown would be.
They exist.
You know, they exist. And we're not going to go down that. I'm going to convince DeMichael to do an episode on the GBB Community Mock NBA draft here soon. And I'll go off on my rant then there. But I do think the fascinating thing about being in a city like Memphis, where basketball is king, even in a time where the team has not played, the Grizzlies haven't played in a month now, right? Maybe even a little longer than that. Mm-hmm. So the town itself is still very engrossed in what's happening in the NBA. It's almost like they're chomping at the bit for the regular season to end to see what's going to happen with this Grizzlies roster. Obviously, the draft, that's one of the cool things about the NBA. The playoffs end, and then 2 weeks later, it's the NBA draft. Free agency starts the week after that. and you have summer league, and it's all very top heavy in the NBA offseason. It's the culmination of a journey for the Nuggets and the Heat, and it's the beginning of the end of a season so that the other 28 teams in the association can play again, so to speak, unless you're one of the teams looking for a head basketball coach. So the first team we're going to take a look at coming up next here on Locked On Grizzlies is the Miami Heat and the idea of a culture, because we've talked about the Grizzlies culture in the past and whether that's too lax or what they're trying to build in terms of the Grizzlies standard. I've talked about the standard a lot in the past year. Taylor Jenkins, I know you have, DeMichael, numerous times, talk about what their standard is, how that can be tweaked and turned into the Miami culture, right? The Heat culture that is so vaunted. Jimmy Butler's not walking through that door for the Grizzlies, but what are some things that maybe Memphis can be inspired by from the Miami Heat? We're going to talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The NBA Finals are about to begin, and you need to make a fast break to FanDuel just in time to become a new customer and get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's right, $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Ooh, I tell you what, FanDuel is so easy to make bets. Great promotions each and every day, safe and secure, and you can get your money instantly after you win. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no-sweat first bet. This is crazy. Up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. We're talking Heat culture and how the Grizzlies can tweak it and make it their own next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, Joe Mullinax of Bluff City Media. I am running the Grizzlies or the GBB community mock NBA draft right now, which is all consuming. And if I'm bald by the time I'm back on Locked On Grizzlies, you'll know why. I'm already kind of bald, as you can see. But it might all be gone, given all the stress that comes along with running that monstrosity. But it's good content. We're having fun over on Twitter. My co-host, DeMichael Cole, the commercial appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee, smart enough to not do a community mock NBA draft. Also smart to be the Grizzlies beat writer. Between him and I, you have come to the right place if you are looking for Memphis Grizzlies content. But of course, it is the NBA Finals. It's game one tonight between the Nuggets and the Heat. And we're looking for Grizzlies connections. Earlier in the show, we talked about Jeff Green and we talked about Kyle Lowry and how Memphis just loves basketball. We're going to focus in on the Heat here and the idea of culture, because it's almost become a bit, right? It's almost become a joke, DeMichael, what Heat culture actually is. But I think, and Tom Ziller, who has a great Substack newsletter that I subscribe to, Good Morning, It's Basketball.
Yep.
He wrote yesterday about how it's lore. It's like legend. You're building a legend. Like Jimmy Butler buying tickets for people for the NBA Finals when the playoffs were starting, right? Like, or setting aside money for someone saying they'll be at will call. And it coming true, right? Like, obviously, if it didn't come true, no one would ever know it ever happened. But the fact that it did, the fact that these guys believe in themselves in that way, the fact that it's several random role players, which for me, that's the thing the Grizzlies can take away the most, right? Like Gabe Vincent or Max Strus or, you know, those types of players playing such significant, Caleb Martin, I think, is another good example. These are guys that are playing massive roles for this Heat team. Like, they're not just being role players. I think you can make an argument that Martin was the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals. I think he was one vote behind Jimmy Butler in that in that process. So the fact that these guys are stepping up in the way that they are kind of sounds familiar for me with Zaire Williams, with John Conchar, with David Roddy. You know, the Grizzlies have plenty of guys that have better pedigrees in terms of draft position than some of these Miami Heat players. The idea of developing homegrown talent and taking guys that you believe fit what you want to do, that is what I take away most from the Miami Heat that gives me hope for the Memphis Grizzlies. What say you?
Yeah, I'm gonna go in a different direction here.
That's fine.
And for me, before I zero in on the Heat, I want to just point out some of the best cultures in the NBA that we've come to know, at least in my lifetime, the past 20 years or so. So the Los Angeles Lakers, Boston Celtics, I think those are the two teams where star players can comfortably go to those teams, and you know you cannot big time those places. You LeBron James can go to the Lakers, and the Lakers won't automatically be like, yes, this is our new king. No, we've had Kobe, Shaq, Kareem, you know, etc. Yeah. It's not
how
like
how much of that has to do with the fact that they're in California or in Los Angeles.
It's right? It's a culture. It's a culture thing. I mean, yeah, you go to the Clippers.
It's a climate thing. Maybe
you go to the Clippers. Culture thing. You go to the Clippers. No one's saying
no,
that.
No, that's fair. That's true.
It's the same as Boston. I don't think Boston compares, you know, from that perspective of the climate right. and things like that. But if you star players go to Boston, you can't big time Boston.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Those teams, those markets, I think, establish themselves in that way. Then you think of, you know, somewhere the other kind of less heralded places like Dallas and San Antonio, historically over the past 20 plus years. San Antonio is the Western version probably of, you know, the Eastern Conference Miami because of what they established there for 20 plus years. Dallas with the Jason Kidds, the Dirks, you know, Steve Nash and his run, Josh Howard, Deshaun Stevenson, and all those guys just – the revolving role players, but here's what Miami stands out differently than the rest. Miami, when I think of the Heat and I think of Heat culture, I think of accountability. Oh, doesn't that relate right to what's going on in Memphis right now?
That's a great
point. I mean, that's what comes to mind for me. I think of Alonzo Mourning getting in someone's face. I think of Udonis Haslam getting in someone's face.
Holding, that dude personifies the Heat culture idea.
Not only holding the 12th man on the bench who averages 6 minutes a game, but going up to LeBron James, going up to Dwayne Wade. Like we've seen Udonis Haslam go up to Jimmy Butler in the past. It's different over there. It's the same in a way as those other markets that I just remember where it's like you're going to come here and you're gonna mingle in. You're not going to come here and big time us. Like you can in certain markets, so it feels like this market needs me more than I need it. Nah, Miami, most finals appearances in the NBA since 2006. So with that being said, I think the Grizzlies can learn a lot from that because what the Grizzlies have right now is you have kind of the established core forming into place to the point where guys are about to step into those roles where they can say, hey, look, I know how things run around here. I've been around here long enough to say that's not Grizzlies culture. That is Grizzlies culture. And now it's about teaching it to the other players. It's about Desmond Bane going up in front of Ja Morant, holding Ja Morant accountable. It's about Ja Morant going up to Jaren Jackson Jr. and saying, why you only take 8 shots this game and you took 18 last night and went 14 of 18? It's about, you know, all of those guys holding each other accountable, going forward. Through the good days, through the bad days, through all those decisions and displaying that leadership. You touched on something that I think is really good about the Heat culture. And I think what I just mentioned actually plays a part in that. You know, the fact that the star players are held accountable makes it, you know, a much more comfortable environment for role players. I think that is a real thing in the NBA. I've seen the jokes. I'm sure you have, too, when people talk about a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And we'll talk more about Denver a little bit later. Right. But when you think of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I saw people saying he wasn't shooting like this when he was playing with LeBron James. What's different? Well, Jokic, if you listen to everything he says, sometimes we see when LeBron passes it to a guy and he's open, if he misses the shot – You see a little reaction from LeBron from time to time.
That's true. It's
competitiveness, though. But at the end of the day, it's a reaction that if I'm a role player, I'm thinking about that probably before I shoot the ball sometimes. With Jokic, if you miss the shot, he's probably going to blame himself. Like, that's kind of the difference in that perspective. But that all goes over to the Heat as well. You know, Jimmy Butler, I think he won the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals, I forget the story exact word for word. If you remember, correct me, Joe, but it was something like he didn't really care for holding the trophy or he was ready to move on, something like that. But basically, the point is he's not getting caught up in taking the attention and all that. There's a culture here. There's a perspective of we're all one.
Right.
And I think – I saw Shaq talking about how Pat Riley instilled mm-hmm. that in the Heat way back during that run in 2006. And you still see Pat Riley's, you know, imprints all on the organization through Eric Spoelstra, through the players. And that's what I get from Heat culture. And I think the Grizzlies can replicate that in a way. Taylor Jenkins, we talked about this whole hot seat conversation and whatnot, but I think if things go as planned, he's going to be around for a while. He got here when Ja Morant got here. That alone in itself, as long as there's success, he should be around here for a while. You have the front office. I think things are kind of aligning for the Grizzlies to kind of establish their culture, but it starts with the accountability, and it starts with, you know, just everyone being on one accord.
Yes, absolutely. And I do think that a major piece of that is going to come with patience, which will directly tie into what we talk about next, the Denver Nuggets. So when we come back here on Locked On Grizzlies, we'll move on from Heat culture. We'll take a look at the Denver Nuggets and how they have three core players and have put solid role players around those guys. If only there was another team that might be trying to do something similar. We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, joined by DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. He is the Memphis Grizzlies beat writer for that publication, that website, that app, however you want to describe it nowadays in 2023. I of BluffCityMedia.co. Between DeMichael and I, you have all the access and information you need to get smarter about the Memphis Grizzlies. So you've made a good choice today being with us here on Locked On Grizzlies. DeMichael, the Miami Heat have a culture. They have a lot going for them in terms of managing people, right? And I think you really talked well about that earlier in the show. So much of this, we forget that, you know, Jimmy Butler's a dude, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean like a dude, like a bad
He's an alpha.
I don't even mean it like, I mean like he, you know, he goes to Whole Foods, right? Like he could roll up to the grocery store.
He likes listening to country music.
He could take his kids to see The Little Mermaid like I did this past weekend, right? Like, I'm being serious. Like, they're people. And managing personalities and establishing expectations for behavior and standards, you know, we hear Taylor Jenkins talk about that all the time. That is something that we often overlook whenever we break down, you know, it's fun to talk about shooting percentages and X's and O's. A lot of times it's how you manage people. And I think the Heat have nailed that. And I think the Denver Nuggets have nailed that, it just in a different way. And what Denver has gotten really good at is understanding what their guys are good at and building scheme around it. Like, you know who the point guard is for the Denver Nuggets? It's Nikola Jokic. He's the point guard. The 7-foot center is the point guard for that team. Jamal Murray's not the point guard. If you watch the Nuggets play, he might bring the ball up the floor a few times. Yeah. But the point guard is Jokic. It goes through him. He initiates offense. He facilitates their offensive sets. Aaron Gordon, a star player in Orlando. Like, he was a first best player on that bad team. He goes to Denver and he's maybe the third or fourth best guy, but he understands his role. He goes and he executes well. And when Aaron Gordon is clicking alongside Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., Denver is almost impossible to beat. And then you mentioned him earlier in the show, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a trade that was almost completely overlooked in the offseason, coming over from Washington. I think Monte Morris, he was sent out. Will Barton of you know, Memphis Tiger fame, also sent out. And KCP was part of that deal, I think. Yep. And now you have a guy who you could easily argue is the most significant role player remaining in the NBA playoffs because of what he provides on the defensive and offensive end combined. Denver needed a hardened defensive stopper that can hit threes. KCP can do that. So I think when I look at the Denver Nuggets, the fact that they drafted Jokic when they did, I think 2014, 2015, around that time, obviously Michael Porter Jr. had health issues that had him go all the way back to the late lottery when Denver selected him. Jamal Murray coming back from an ACL injury. Patience is the word that comes to me when I look at the Denver Nuggets organization. They didn't freak out when they had earlier failures. They didn't blow up the team and say, oh, we got to move on from Murray because he hurt his knee, or maybe we should maximize Jokic's value while he's an MVP-level player. Yeah. They stayed the course, and now they are reaping the benefits, right? the Western Conference was wide open. And in the West, that manifested itself in the best team, the Denver Nuggets, being in a position to win an NBA championship and to be the favorite at this point to win an NBA championship. That's not because they went out and traded for Jaylen Brown or because they got Kyrie Irving in the fold. It's because they built around their core guys and amplified what they already do well and tweaked scheme around the people that they invested in. Memphis can very easily do that. You could argue they already have to an extent with John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah. And here's what stands out to me, because you've heard me now that we're kind of in the offseason now, just focusing on that word core so much, because that's really what the NBA is. The NBA isn't like the NFL where you need, you know, 52 guys and then some in order to potentially win a championship. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, those guys aren't winning championships if three of their offensive linemen go down in a season. Same thing, you know, in baseball. But the difference is in this sport, in the NBA, you can lose some role players.
Right.
But when you have a core established, you're positioned for the long haul. Think of this Denver Nuggets team. You remember they made the Western Conference Final in the bubble, right? Only two starters still here from a Western Conference Finals team. Only two. Jokic, Jamal Murray. Those are your only two starters left off of that team. And as it relates to Memphis, you talk about patience. Joe, I'm gonna give you a chance to say something on this. I really want to see what you're gonna say. I didn't tell you this before the show because I couldn't wait to see your reaction. I want to give my columnist at the Commercial Appeal, Mark Giannotto, a shout out on this one too, because he brought it up first. But a difference so far when you talk about patience in Denver as compared to Memphis, Denver so far looks like they took a chance on Michael Porter Jr. and they hit. Right now, the Grizzlies, they took their big swing with Zaire Williams. Hasn't been a hit yet, has it?
No.
And that's kind of a, you know, a similarity where if you hit on Zaire Williams, I mean, most people who watch Zaire Williams in high school, that's a top five draft pick type talent.
Oh, yeah.
Based on his high school tape. So with all that being said, you know, there were some risks there because, you know, it's the college injuries, you know, not playing much the role he played in college, etc. But Memphis can learn a lot from the core, saying, hey, these are the guys that Denver built around. You could learn a lot from the trades that they made. No, that's up your alley, right?
I do love trades.
That remember that Aaron Gordon trade where when you talk about a culture guy, Gary Harris was so important to the Denver Nuggets in the past that Jamal Murray even has said that he deserves a championship ring for this team. Like the culture, that's a culture piece. You know, think about that, how that correlates to the Grizzlies. You know, a Gary Harris type player, we've had these conversations, right? People don't want to trade those type guys in Memphis, but at the end of the day, you might have to. Paul Millsap, that was a leader. That was a leader in the locker room. But in order for the Nuggets to reach this level, they had to go from Paul Millsap to Aaron Gordon. They had to go from Gary Harris to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and so forth. So I think there's a big lesson in the patience.
Sorry about that, folks. A little bit of technical issue there on our end. DeMichael finishing up his thought, talking about how significant it is to move on from one player to another, part of that growth process. And obviously with Memphis, you have Jonas Valanciunas to Steven Adams. May not be exactly the same as Denver, not necessarily a direct upgrade, but a better fit for the Memphis Grizzlies. Going from Dylan Brooks to whatever comes next after Dylan could be the next example of that. The Memphis process and the Denver process could certainly overlap in certain spaces. And that's something to keep an eye on, not just in the NBA Finals, but of course, beyond. Thank you so much for making us a part of your NBA and Memphis Grizzlies experience. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts as proud members of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team each and every single day. Tomorrow, DeMichael will have those technical issues figured out. He'll be with you flying solo, maybe taking a look at game one, looking ahead to some NBA draft goodness, maybe see some updates on ShoeGate, as I like to talk about it, with John Morant's shoe being released. So DeMichael will take you into your weekend, starting out the month of June and starting out the first weekend in June with DeMichael Cole on Locked On Grizzlies. Sounds like a good way to get things rolling. I'll be back with you on Monday. So for DeMichael Cole, I'm Joe Mullinax. Stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time.